Good morning. Welcome to Plains Church live stream of our services this morning. It is a bright sunny day, which created some issues for us in terms of making sure you can see our delightful faces. But we've all got that addressed. We've got sound man Tim over here. I'd like to welcome you to the service today, and also to let you know that there is no plethora of announcements, no cacophony, no cornucopia, no several, no finite number, no Google, or no gaggle of announcements in the bulletin today because there is no printed bulletin. However, I think Reverend Derek has an announcement he'd like to share.
Well, good morning, everyone. I hope that you can hear us and that everything is coming through well. This is our first time at this, and so if we need to do it next week, we'll do it next week. And the announcement that I have for you is just a preview of potential coming attractions. We don't know what's going to happen this week with the Lenten series. In fact, I think you would agree that we assume nothing is going to happen with the Lenten series, that we're going to be still observing the quarantine recommendations from our denomination and from our government. And so with that in mind, I will be producing another service, may just be audio, maybe like this. We'll be praying about it to see. So if you're interested in that, be checking your email, be sharing it with others so that that can be shared around the congregation and around the community. I'm glad to see we have so many people. We will be, as people log in, if anyone comes in late, we will be checking that and making sure that we're able to help out and get you logged in. As I see someone actually has just messaged us, so let's see what we have here real quick, and then we'll turn it back over to Ron this morning. Oh, yes, Kathy Carter says you need to mute your feed. I don't really know what that means, but Ron, I'm sure you do.
No, I don't know. I don't know how to mute the feed.
I don't either, but we'll figure it out. So we're ready to begin.
All right. Well, our sentence of scripture reads as follows. Come and see the ambassador of God's friendship for us. We will find Jesus waiting to meet us in all the common places and moments. Come and hear the one who speaks of God's joy in us. We will listen to Jesus, whose words of grace and peace raise the rafters of our hope. Come and know how much God loves you. We will discover Jesus, who offers us the gift of reconciliation.
I wonder if she means mute our feet, like we need to mute our microphone.
I don't think it should be on there.
Okay. All right. We'll just hope you all figure it out and can hear what we're saying. Our prayer of praise and adoration. God of all glory, on this first day you began creation, bringing light out of darkness. On this first day, you began your new creation, raising Jesus Christ out of the darkness of death. On the Lord's day, grant that we, the people you create by water and the Spirit, may be joined with all your works in praising you for your great glory. Through Jesus Christ, in union with the Holy Spirit, we praise you now and forever. Amen. And now I'll read the prayer of confession. Gracious God, our sins are too heavy, too real to hide, and too deep to undo. Forgive what our lips tremble to name, what our hearts can no longer bear, and what has become for us a consuming fire of judgment. Set us free from a past that we cannot change. Open to us a future in which we can be changed. And grant us grace to grow more and more in your likeness and image. Through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen.
My friends, as you have joined us in our time of confession, hear these words of assurance. The victory that overcomes the pessimism and recriminations of the world is faith. For who is victorious except those who put their trust in Jesus, the only true Son of God? It is in his name that I declare to you today, all repentant people, your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Our first reading today can be found in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 17. I'd encourage you to read from your pew Bible, but you can't do that. But if you have a Bible at home, feel free to follow along. For once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is a shame even to speak of the things they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it is said, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light." Look carefully at how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. This ends the first reading. Now, I thought that we should have some type of music with today's service, so I've put together a song. This is one of my favorites. I used to sing it years ago, and it just spoke to me this week as an appropriate song to share for today's service. I do apologize if the sound mix is not great. If you're stuck with just my booming, obnoxious voice, please forgive me. Hear the words of life.
in a bit of a different order, shall we? Ordinarily, at this point in our service, I ask you to pray with me, and then we read the text. But I'm going to give you a chance before we pray to find the text, if you want to. It is the 23rd Psalm. So, if you've got a Bible, if you've got your smartphone, if you've got something there with the scriptures on it, I will be reading the 23rd Psalm. But before I do that with you, let us be the church and pray. Loving God, we are thankful for these, your words, given to us today. As we worship as a distanced church, open our hearts that we may hear these words, open our minds that we may receive them, and allow your Holy Spirit to speak to us. It's in Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Like I said, the text is from Psalm 23, and today I am reading out of the New English Bible, a slightly different translation for you. I like what it does and how it works through some of these very familiar images and texts that you're aware of. So listen and hear God's word today for you. It's from the 23rd Psalm. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall want nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside the waters of peace. He renews my life within me, and for his name's sake guides me in the right path. Even though I walk through a valley dark as death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff are my comfort. Thou spreadest a table for me in the sight of my enemies. Thou hast richly bathed my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Goodness and love unfailing, these will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long." My friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Loving God, we are thankful to be here together, worshiping you on a day when much feels uncertain. Now speak to our hearts and our minds that this familiar word would become a word for us that we need to hear. It's in Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. To begin, I want to say I'm so glad to see the number of you who have made it into our Zoom meeting. And as I'm doing that, one additional person has come on. So we'll add that on there too. I'm so glad to see almost 20 of you logging in. Who knows how many are with you? It's an encouragement, and it should say something to you today. This is the first time that we here at Plains have met together virtually, and we know it may not be the last, as many other communities, denominations, churches, and groups have complied with the self-quarantine recommendation from our federal and state government, as they have done, as we have done so. A different mood begins to take shape around us that we may affirm is not a blessing to us. We may not want this, but it's here, and we are still called by God in the midst of it. In our case, gone for now are the handshakes, the hugs that are passed around this room, the warm support, words of support when prayers have been offered by one to another. Gone for now are the inside jokes shared between members and families, the gentle ribbing from one to another, replaced by silence and the steadfastness of this situation. Today we will not see the children of our church embracing their parents, and we might even hear on those days a whisper of "I love you," passed willingly and tenderly. Perhaps you will leave your home today and venture to the store only to find shelves empty or smaller stocked than you would have expected. And it seems that this physical image is the real world expression of how it feels inside. A little emptier, a little lonelier, perhaps more isolated, maybe even a bit dusty and feeling unused. Frustration that it has come to this. As citizens, we have engaged in defining what it means to be an essential business or gathering place. And I can say that the vagueness of that decision is hard for us to work with, as I know it's hard for you in the church. None of us completely have a good taste in our mouth today. And right alongside this social distancing, this conversation from the governor about essential businesses, comes the distancing, the potential distancing of faith practices and gatherings that may feel forced upon you. Yes, sir.
I apologize.
Please.
What Kathy was trying to tell us was that the other people in the meeting, you need to mute your feed if you can, because every time somebody moves or talks as part of the meeting, they lose the audio here.
Gotcha.
So it says there is a microphone icon at the bottom of the screen that you can click, which should mute your feed out, but you'll still be able to hear us with our audio here. So give that a shot and see if that works.
Thank you for letting us know. Hey, no, you're okay. The more I sit with this passage, or worship in a mostly empty church building, the more I wonder about what is missing. Where do we find, and how do we identify, lack? Today we're going to walk through the most familiar psalm, maybe the most familiar Old Testament passage that we have in the canon of Scripture, and see what new thing God is offering to us as we look around and we feel lack everywhere. I like the way, and that's why I use it, that the New English Bible begins the psalm when it says, "I shall want nothing." Maybe you're more familiar with the traditional wordage that says, "I shall not be in want." Either way, it's a strong statement if you stop and consider it. New Testament professor James Howell says it this way when referring to Psalm 23. He says, "We've read it, uttered it, delighted in it. But have we thought about it or lived it out in reality? I shall not want." Our whole life is about wanting, he says. I want, I shop, I look, and when I have it, I want new. In our consumer culture, I shall want. I shall always want. I shall never stop my wanting because the mall entices me with every new, shiny, and unnecessary object. And I am instructed from childhood on to want. And not merely to want, but to have. This is a strong sentiment, and it carries with it a theological construct as well for you, as we're a distance church today. We want a lot. That sense of want leads to the realization, or maybe the choice to think, that I believe that I'm missing something in my life. I don't have what I want. I don't worship in this way. I don't want a quarantine like this. And so if I take that step, sometimes a drastic step, I will get what I want because I've decided it's important. Not to put it too lightly, but the physical manifestation of this want, this lack, or the fear of it, is visible in those same grocery stores we have visited this week during our self-quarantine. I shall want. I shall always want. And more than just wanting, I shall do what I must have. Now, I'm not making light of the need to buy food or supplies to provide for your family and their needs, but personally, watching person after person push each other out of the way. And I did see that with Emma this week on Monday when we went to get some ground beef. Makes me wonder about how we define lack and how we define need and what God's word says to us. It also makes me begin to think about how I define spiritual lack. But the meaning of this phrase goes deeper than needing some extra ground beef or sloppy joes. It moves in a spiritual relational direction that can say something about my trusting God and God's ability to provide and care when we find ourselves in a place like this or a situation like this. The longer I sit with the affirmation, "I shall want nothing," the more those words draw me into a place of introspection that is quite personal. In that place, questions begin to surface. If I sit in that place of apparent lack and reflect about how I did not anticipate this happening, and yet, do I not think God is here with me? I begin to wonder, maybe perhaps you do as well, does my life proclaim that because I am in union with God, I want nothing? God provides. I begin to wonder which of my choices are acted upon from a place of personal pride, selfish ambition, and not from a place of intimacy in Christ based on a deep trust in God and God's promises to me? Do I lack the perspective, I wonder, to believe that God is in control of the world when those around me and those I see on TV and those I work with and those whom I read about on social media affirm that the world is falling apart at its core, and so steps are taken to manipulate or control? Psalm 23 helps me affirm that I shall want nothing because God is providing for me in all areas of my life. That word does not diminish my need to provide for my family, but instead it helps me reorient my mind towards the message of this psalm and away from the actions that bring no glory to God, because they do not support the affirmation that I shall want nothing that this psalm begins with. Because if we're not careful, when we act and speak, if we do not mind our thoughts and consider the implications of them in the lives of the people around us, in our church, in our society, we might just be guilty of confessing that God does not shelter me, and therefore I must work to do the work myself. I must bend the world toward my desire and my feeling. The grandeur of this passage is found in how it's formulated and constructed along those lines. James Lindberg points out that in the original Hebrew of Psalm 23, there are exactly 26 words before and after "Thou art with me." Perhaps the poet was boldly declaring that God being with us is at the very core of our lives and should be our focus. God is with us. We are not alone down here. The whole gospel is that God is with us. Jesus was called Emmanuel, which means, as you know, God with us. John Wesley's dying words were, "The best of all is, God is with me." God doesn't just shelter us from trouble. God doesn't magically manipulate everything to suit us. But the glorious with is unassailable, unchangeable, and the only fact that matters. Thou art with me. God is here, you see, even when I feel alone, isolated, separated from the community, away from my physical church family for the time being. God provides in a powerful and yet unexpected way in our lives, even when we feel alone, isolated, forced apart against our choices, a choice we might not have made if it was given to us in totality. And I know some of you do feel that way. Remember, God is with us in the process. Thou art with me. And God is in the habit of providing his presence, because we shall not want. One of the obvious struggles in times such as this is not only remembering and confessing this action of God in our lives, but also living it out for those who cannot find it for themselves. This is a struggle based on trust that we're working through in one form or another. How many times, I wonder, have you heard or said to another person that trust is earned, it is not given? But when we come to Psalm 23, when we are confronted with the theology of trust as the psalm speaks of it, where do we locate that trust in the Almighty, in God? Here, God asks the church who comes to this psalm for comfort and support to trust in God's own ability to provide, to care, and to be with us. We are not asked to confess it on our own timelines in a way that supports our will. Instead, can we, with clarity and trust, affirm that whatever is occurring in this time is doing so with God before us? Can we trust in him with it? We do not have to take extraordinary steps to act for our lives. God is present in these words. We do not need to worry about wanting. There is no need to act outside of the church. God is with us, and we have to trust that. Many years ago, a colleague of mine was sitting in a Bible study with other pastors and friends. She was shaken as she came to the meeting, but did not share it with the group, held it in her heart. You see, recently her father was in a near-fatal head-on car crash. The other driver of the car fell asleep, veered into the wrong lane, and struck her car at full speed on the highway. The mangled car was pried off this woman's father, and he was life-flighted to the local hospital. He would face a long road of physical therapy and recovery. His gait would be different from this point on. He didn't walk that way that she remembered. There would be improvements in his health, and then decline as well. But the family and this pastor, a friend of mine, maintained that God was with them because her father was alive. Fast forward a few years, go back to the Bible study that I began with. The topic was about how God cares for us. And this young pastor shared her story with the affirmation that God was with her because her father lived. An old, chubby, gray-haired pastor started to chuckle to himself quietly. "My friend," he said, "God would have been there if he wasn't okay too." And the pastor, and he smiled gently at my friend. The pastor was dumbstruck. After a moment, she began to cry. It was then for her, and now for us in the world of the coronavirus, that we trust in the God who is with us, whether we are together or whether we are not, whether we are meeting or whether we are not, whether we are at home, as I was quite a bit this week, or not. Trust that God is with you. Trust that God is always with you. This is the message of the 23rd Psalm that you and I are called to hold fast to today. The challenge of this psalm comes when we confront our lives of wanting and not lacking with the trust God places upon us. The grandeur of this passage is that God is able to provide for us in all areas of our lives. Can we trust in that and not act to provide for ourselves as if we're the only one who needs to work to do the work so that we are sustained and we are provided for? Let us pray together. Holy and living God, we thank you for these your words from the psalmist that speak to our hearts, to our cores. Help us in our walks, in our lives, to assimilate them. To not just run to this psalm in times of great need, but to daily sit with it. For it reminds us we shall want nothing. It's in your name we ask this, because you are with us. Amen. As we prepare to end our time together, it is time for us to be the church, to offer our prayers to the Lord, to join together across digitally in the Lord's Prayer. And although we do not really have the ability right now, as streamlessly as I might like for us to share our joys and concerns, I want you, I challenge you, I charge you today to take those joys and share them with another person. To take those concerns to someone you trust and love, hold their hand and pray together for them, diligently and urgently. This is the ministry of the church, to be together. I challenge you as well, because we're not going to have the opportunity right now to share our stories of how God is at work with us, to share that story that you have with you today, of how God has been and will continue to be at work in your life with another person. Find the space to do it. Find the willingness to do it. And notice how God is with you. We're going to conclude our service with our pastoral prayer. And so as we do, I'm going to leave space in the prayer for you to offer silently your concerns and your joys. It's going to be a directed prayer, and then I will close with the Lord's Prayer. So let us be the church now. Loving God, we are thankful to be here. Whether we are in this space, whether we are worshiping at home, whether we're sitting on the porch, in bed, on the couch, at the kitchen table, wherever it may be, in the car, we are thankful to be together. For when we are together, we are affirming that you care for us. We are blessed because you are there. We are changed because you are with us. And so now, Lord, as we do the ministry of the church, we ask you, God, to be with those that we love. We ask you to be with those who are in pain. We have shared so many of their stories and their concerns in this space. and we have been confident to know you are working with them. So be with those who we know and we name in our hearts, name together around the table, name together around the couch, who are in pain today, in whatever form that takes. We pray for the ongoing ministry of your church. It is difficult to evangelize, to share the gospel, to reach out, to listen, to discern, to even worship in a time like this. But we pray for this church and for each house of worship who gathers virtually, that the ministry you call them to would be accomplished according to your purposes and your will. And of course, Lord, we think of those who are engaged in the work with this coronavirus through testing, the doctors, the staffs, the administration, for all of those in the CDC and the World Health Organization, for each individual in our government who has their hands in this. God, give them wisdom and knowledge as to how to proceed. And as we do so, Lord, we will give you praise. For that is part of the act of being the church that is the most uplifting to all of us, the times we can affirm the joys. And so, Lord, we share our joys with one another virtually. We share the places this week where we asked and you came because we shall not be in want. We name for the people around us who are worshiping with us the times we can look back and see, wow, God was there and I had no idea, and it blessed me. And we name the joys in our lives that we know are to come. The things which will change us, the things which will shake us to our cores and will give us encouragement as we continue to be the church. We name them with you and with those around us. And finally, Lord, as we conclude our time together, hear us, your children, as we offer you the first prayer which you've taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please bow your heads for the blessing and the charge. But you, beloved, members of the church, build yourself up on your most holy faith. Pray in the Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Wait for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling, and to present you without blemish before the presence of his glory with rejoicing, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. This will conclude our service. In a moment, I'll walk forward and end the video conference call and turn the live Facebook off. I hope our prayer service was a blessing to you. I hope that you spent time with each other in worship. I hope you were uplifted by it. Please keep an eye on your emails this week. The session will be conferring as to how we will be moving forward next Sunday, as well as what plans will be made for worship next week, and if anything is done this week with the Lenten series, whether that is another Zoom call, a recorded message, whatever it may be. Go in peace. The Lord be with you.